Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
In the flesh, she's in the building, she's in the studio to enlighten all of us, sometimes giving us a bit of stress, but she's here, Thabi Seng Dubazan. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Ospamila. Nice to be back.
What are we talking about today?
So, you know, we're always talking maintenance and customary law.
You are the queen of legal marriages. You are the one person who makes us all remove the love from the marriage, and you're forcing us to look at it properly.
Yeah. So, there's interesting developments. I always want to keep you guys updated.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that we're not caught lacking.
Yeah.
So, let's start with the maintenance one, because it's a little bit shorter than the customary one.
Okay.
So, there's been an announcement that has been made that the credit regulators and family court are going to start to work together. As to how the nitty-gritties are going to work, it will be very interesting to see how. But what it seems would happen is that if there's a maintenance order against Thabi Seng, and Thabi Seng goes and applies for credit, whether it's for a home loan, whether it's for a car, whatever, the obligation has to be listed on Thabi Seng's credit bureau that she has an obligation to pay maintenance. Now, this comes out because apparently, and I've seen this happen in court, really, the first 2 years, 3 years, sometimes 10, people don't abide by the maintenance order.
Or sometimes 10.
Yeah, I'm saying this today because I actually had a client that came and said 10 years sometimes this person hasn't paid.
Sometimes never.
You see what I mean? So the situation is that an order is out. Thabi Seng defaults month one, month two, month three, and then just completely ignores calls and whatever the case may be. And then when Thabi Seng is brought to court to say, you have this order against you and you're not paying, Thabi Seng cries, but I can't afford. I'm paying for a loan that I got for hospital fees. I'm paying for a car, whatever. And these are now recent loans so that she can show that she doesn't have money. Yet when all of these things were happening, these loans were not existing. So it's because of that that it is said that 70% of people who have maintenance obligations default within the first 2 years.
So in a nutshell, Mudibedi is going to make sure that he can't afford to pay.
Correct.
So it's not that he can't afford it, but he will make sure that he takes on more debt, buys a bigger car.
Yes.
And so on. So that he can say,
Ausana nix. That's correct.
There's nothing left.
That's correct. And say, but this information, I know it was not there at the time that the order was granted, but things have changed. So now I cannot afford. So what the talks
And when you
are,
check his bank account, he has no more money left. But he is driving his fancy car.
Yes. And Mudibedi, when he goes to get his account increased or change the car from a Mercedes Benz to a Range Rover, whatever.
He makes sure he maxes out.
Correct.
His salary.
Yes. Yes. And what happens is that when you go and you go get credit, they check your affordability, they check what liabilities you have, what payments, etc., etc. So now what is being requested is that even the maintenance
must be included
as part of the assessment criteria
that
you have this obligation.
Buy a bigger car if you're not paying maintenance.
That's correct.
And you have the obligation of paying maintenance.
That's correct. So they wanted to say, okay, in your list of things that we see on your TransUnion
expenses that you have,
yes,
you have
we
to
see here. That
there's a maintenance
order. You know? And
can we just, sorry.
Yeah.
Let's digress. Can you upgrade the maintenance as he keeps getting richer? can you say, I see he's getting richer. The children too want to get richer.
Yeah. Yes.
The children too deserve a better life.
Yeah. In any event, maintenance orders always come with a clause attached to it. It's increased GAT 10% every year or per the CPI. So there's always a clause that the order has to increase. It cannot remain constant because Mwanalena wa hold.
No. Buroto wa kupu.
Exactly. So these are the conditions.
So the 350 rands he's paying or was supposed to pay cannot remain 315 for 10 years.
Yes. And this is where the problem usually arises. They, whoever has the maintenance order against him, he has this order against him, and isale ele 1.5.
Isale haela, haisale.
And then he tends to forget conveniently.
Yes. No. His application is that he takes them out to McDonald's every now and then.
And then that's enough to add the other.
It's absolutely enough.
Yeah. Mm. And then he forgets.
And he bought the one child a cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay. And yes, it's more than enough.
Omorekela diaparo twice a year.
Yeah.
Ka June, ka December.
Yeah. He's done his bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But in that order, every increase, every time there is an increase is going to happen there. But they tend to forget that part of the order exists. But I can say that there are some orders that do not have that clause that says that it has to be increased. So it now rests.
So it's your job to go and say,
correct,
he's getting richer.
Yes.
He's getting richer.
Yes. And the bread is getting more expensive.
No. The bread is the same, but he's richer.
Yes.
He's richer.
Yes, actually, because the reason that it was 350 rand instead of 1.5 because he couldn't afford.
Mm.
Yes. Now that he can afford, I can go back and say, no, he can afford now. So can we go from 350 to
1.5? And it's tough because, you just don't know why anyone would think it's okay for the child not to benefit from their, whatever it is, their fruits. You know, and can they say to you, but I'm not willing to pay the money. I'm willing to do everything else.
Yes, they can. There's orders wherein people pay towards the service providers instead of paying cash directly to the mother or the primary caregiver. It's usually the mom, so we'll say that money's not paid directly to the caregiver. It's paid directly to the school, paid directly to the transport person, paid directly to whatever. And when it comes to groceries, then it is a requirement that mom would send a list of whatever it is that needs to be bought, and then he can bring it. I remember there was one situation where dad was buying the vouchers or stickers. It's a shop, right, that accumulate throughout the year, and then say, no, here, go and buy. I'm not giving you cash, but you're able to go and buy for the child. So there are instances where an order can state that, and it's usually accepted by the court.
Mm. Sammy in Pretoria. Hello, Sammy. You like us today?
Yes. Good day.
Hello, Sammy.
Good afternoon to me. What
it's
is it?
Okay. All right. It's okay.
I hear Advocate Interesting Dubas and saying that when the maintenance order, like when your economic status goes high, the maintenance also has to go high.
It can.
But there's been a recent judgment where a mother went to court where the father was paying 8,500 rand for maintenance. And the mother went to court and said, this economic status has gone high.
Mm.
And the court asked, what is it within that 8,500 rand that does not cover for the needs of the child?
And I know that case. It's very recent, actually.
Yes.
Yes. In that particular instance, the mom, it was stemming from a divorce, if I'm not mistaken. And the mom was relying solely on the fact that the economic status of dad had changed, but not that the status of the minor children had changed. That the money that she was receiving, was it now too little for the children to survive? And she could not prove that aspect. So in that particular case, she did not have any justifiable reasons for her to receive an increase on maintenance. So that is a very extreme situation. 28,000 is one of those. Yeah.
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I've got a child with someone, and then for example, I'm aiming high, I'm aiming let's just say 35,000 rand per month, and then it's maybe something like 22.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, okay, fine, let's look at what the child needs every month. Then I'll say, I'll pay for medical aid, I'll pay for transport, I'll pay for all the clothes, I'll pay for school fees. And then I pay directly. I pay directly for what the child needs instead of giving her money.
100%.
How will that work out?
No, it's an order. It is we call it paying directly to the service providers. So as long as it is put on paper that you Semi is going to pay towards X, Y, and Z, then that's what's going to happen. Only when I as Semi's baby mama start getting calls from the school, from the transport, from medical aid, that there is a default, then I can take you back to the maintenance court to say you are failing in your obligations per the order. So nothing stops you from paying directly to the people instead of giving cash to mom.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Semi, how's about Loba Dela, Pap?
No, the thing is that I work with Father for Justice, and I hear most of the time people say, you know, I want to pay directly. And then when he says, I want to pay directly, then you get dragged to court.
Yeah,
so that's what
you must go back to court. It must be.
But
the
I don't have a child myself.
No, I was just joking.
I don't want them.
I was just joking. All right, do it.
No, I understand. No. I don't want children.
Well, it's a scam, doing. Get a joke. I'm just joking. It's amazing. I'm just joking, but no. But you have to go back to court.
You have to. You have to go back to court. You see, this is the problem. I think I've said this so many times. Whenever you receive anything from court, please don't ignore it. Because when you ignore it, you put yourself in hot water. Same thing with maintenance. If you cannot afford, as the person who has the order against you, please don't sit in a corner and say, I can't afford, therefore. Because you're going to end up getting a garnishee order against your name. And if you're not employed, or if you're employed, of course, they're going to go straight to employee and they're going to take that money. So go to the maintenance officer, go to the court and say, I cannot afford. They have cut my salary because of X, Y, and Z. There's been a tragedy. Whatever the case may be, go and explain yourself. Then they can reduce the money from what it was to what you can afford. And then mom, if she's going to object, she must show any reason that you are apparently lying about your status quo. But usually you're going to bring your 6 months bank statement to show all of this.
Would a new family be a legitimate reason to say, I now have more mouths to feed? So yes, I am earning X, but I now have more dependents. Therefore, the rand is stretched a bit more thin.
No. The courts don't do that. They won't. They'll say it is your fault. Let me put it this way. If the new family... hey, you didn't...
Ow.
I was about to say things I can't say on radio.
Ow. Ow. I think I'm going to be
happy. That's the thing.
And I'm going to be happy. We're a happy family. You know, we want to... Yeah, we want to make sure that little now we have our little...
Pimelonyana yenunu is to be maintained by both of you, and by extension, if you were the only one that was paying before you met Pimelo and had Pimelonyana.
Yeah.
Now that Pimelo is in the picture,
mm-hmm.
Pimelo also has to maintain that child.
Pimelo has to be.
It's not the problem.
Rabata Pimelonyana mare Pimelo has to be.
You see, that's where it is.
And Mudibedi, he's moved on from Ntabise. Mm. He's now got a new family. Pimelo Hasebeti, Marinale Pimelonyana. Which means he has more mouths to feed now. Can he say to the court, look, I used to pay 20,000 rand to maintain children Bantabise. I want to pay 10 because I now have my new wife and we've got a little Pimelonyana.
The courts have... Okay, let me say this. They're divided. Mm. But the majority of what they say is that, no, you ought to have planned better. You have set the status quo.
I get it. You can't decide. You should have planned better. I mustn't be happy.
happy, but don't change status quo someone on tab saying.
So Manolo on tab saying has more rights than my new baby.
No, not even. Maintain, keep the status quo, San Tabi Sen, someone San Tabi Sen, because you're the one who developed it. When you and Pimelo decided to have little Pimelo Nyana, you should have budgeted extra for little Pimelo Nyana.
And Tabi Sen, people have children who don't work.
Oh, very true.
People have children, Baba Le Modi Grandi.
Very true.
So what's this thing about budgeting?
Yeah? That's what the courts have said. But then there is also other courts where in there saying, yes, no, we understand the situation has changed and we definitely do agree with you. Let us reduce the maintenance. But it's not usually as drastic as 50% or whatever, but it is reduced to try and accommodate the status quo that has changed. That's why I'm saying courts are divided, but I would not rely solely on the fact that there's a new family and therefore you can request for a reduction in maintenance.
Let's take a quick, I want to take a break because someone here, I think, I don't know, his name is Fa Ara, but I usually, Ari, hi, today, Usus Pimelo, yes, Giela. She still educated us, but she has turned against us. What are you talking about? Yeah? What do you mean? Let me take a quick break. We'll be back after this. Okay, so Musima says, how? What happens when the father decides to quit his job, changes his contact details, and stops paying? The maintenance court tells the mother to look for his new contact details or information. Do maintenance court do funny things like that?
Well, clearly they do, but it shouldn't be. The investigator, there's an investigator that is appointed specifically for cases such as this. When the defaulter or the person who has an order against them now disappears into thin air, they have the obligation to go find this person. They actually have a court order that gives them the power to go to all these different banks, institutions, to go and see if there's been any activity per what they have, the ID number, Yamoto, everything, and find that information. It is so bad that if they find out, the investigator finds out that he quit, he got his payout, study pension, provident fund, whatever, and then he takes them and puts them in his girlfriend's account, the new partner.
That happens all the time.
They go and freeze the new partner's account. So that's what's supposed to happen. Unfortunately, it's not every court that follows what the act says and what needs to be done, and they make it the burden of the mom. But the law says that's what the maintenance officer does, the investigator, I mean to say, has to do, and find this information out, especially if there's a court order that is now available to that person or per application of Ntabi Singh, who is the one who's supposed to be receiving the maintenance.
Okay. You had another case that you wanted us to look at.
Yeah. Oh, before we move on to that case, I wanted to mention that the one thing that I find that may be tricky about listing defaulters of maintenance. Remember, the National Credit Act has its own rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. So now how the question that I have in mind is, it may be one thing to list that there is an obligation to this amount on the assessment of getting credit. But if Ntabi Singh now defaults on that particular credit, how then do we work with the credit bureaus to follow the regulations? Because, for example, in terms of, is it Section 27 or 8? One of the two of the National Credit Act, I need to send out, or they need to send out a letter of demand wherein they're saying you owe X amount. And then there's a whole process of listing a person. This doesn't fall within the definition of what a credit default would be, because a maintenance is not credit, if that makes any sense. So there's certain criteria that needs to be met.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So how you manage what then is the consequence of the person defaulting,
that's correct,
is different to someone having taken out credit.
Yes. So I think they should eventually let us know how those things would be ironed out, how they would be dealt with going forward. Because as it stands right now, the rules and everything that deals with credit and listing somebody as a bad payer, all of those things are very far removed from what the Maintenance Act has to deal with. So that for me, it would be a bit tricky in terms of somebody who's going to default. And also because of clauses such as it increases per the CPI or per 10%, what amount are you going to put there as a debt exactly? Because if this year it's 3,000 Rand, next year is increased by another 10%, how do we determine what the actual debt is going to be when you list this person for a default?
And you may not find a job because of this defaulting.
Correct. Now, let's say you are in a financial institution.
Services.
Yes, you're an accountant or whatever the case may be. Now, here is this listing. Now, you can't get a job as a result of all of this. What does that mean? And if he can't get a job or she can't get a job, it means this child will continuously be suffering because it's not going to be forthcoming of any monies in any event. And over and above that, what do we do to if this person now dies? Now there's creditors, there is the maintenance order that exists, the minor child also exists. So now there's three different slots, if I can put it that way, wherein it could have been just the one. Actually, when the order still exists and the person is still a minor, if dad or mom dies, whoever is the one who has the order against them, you can submit that as a maintenance claim against the estate. But with every estate, creditors are paid first. So who's the creditor in this situation?
Will be the creditor.
But is it Wana? Because the maintenance is on behalf of Wana, yes, but it's paid into Ntabi Singh's account.
It will be going to the guardian.
You see. So now there's those kind of issues. Who exactly has the right of claim over the estate? So these things, I think, are things that need to be ironed out thoroughly so it makes sense, because it's going to affect various legislation when this thing is ironed out.
Okay. Yeah. That is LB. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela and Tavisen. How are you?
How are you, Ndata Selby?
How are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
It's wonderful to hear from you, Ndata Selby. Welcome.
Thank you. Ndata Selby.
Ndata Selby.
Kupobotsa. Nakisa Sevitz.
Yes.
Mfumadu Akarinyetin Community of Property Sevitz. Palele right ya ore, itwanto wa yena patalang menchena.
100%.
Ocho omocha, Akiri.
That 100%. So the maintenance order, it's the joys Zahunyala in community of property. So that's where the danger lies.
Then we have a blacklist.
Correct. So
agree in this together. That is LB.
No, Marana, staying a kid someone almost.
Aye. I got a moon, a little prohan at the hack. But on a serious note, Ntabi Singh, explain that to us.
So, when married in community of property, and then you end up unani a maintenance order. If you fail to pay maintenance, that is LB, then they go to your spouse. Your spouse will be made to pay maintenance because the best interests of the child are always paramount. Not interest ya lenyalo, not interest
ya
child. And as the upper guardian, the courts will say, oh, well, sorry that you were not there when this child was made, but this child has to be maintained. And as a result, your spouse will be obligated to pay maintenance.
Mara, I'm telling you, I'm fed you.
How old? How old that is LB? Today. I'm with you there.
I'm going to say, I'm going to say,
I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm
That's why you're telling me that you're not because Lara Dana. You must remember the contract has problems, Abo.
This is very stressful.
I know. I could do Melani.
In a little stress, Nyana Kamahar.
In a little hotel, Baba.
As you are. No, thank you, Tati Sabi.
I'm not Tati Sabi.
No, one aunt, have you seen?
Ask
you. Yeah, now you see now. You've touched everyone in their studio. So what must happen if people want to reverse that?
Let's get out of the managing community of property. So if you unfortunately find yourself in a marriage such as that, there's an application you can make in the High Court to change your marital regime from in community to out. But remember, the creditors and everybody else who's looking at this marriage to say, if this changes, I can't get my money from Thabiseng if Modibedi defaults, have the right to object to the change of that marital regime. So if Mewangwana finds out that you're changing the marital regime and is aware of this thing, they can also object to say that Modibedi wants sukudisa. So I don't want this marital regime to change, because if it does, it means I won't be able to have access to get money from somewhere else within the marriage. So, yeah. So let's just not get married in community of property. Let's just start.
Okay, let's start the other one that you... Yeah.
So, customary marriage. Like, you're not okay.
No, it's not fair. It seems like punishment.
Yeah.
To the new people.
And it's only because it's only a child. The child, it's not the child's fault. That's what the court says. It's not the child's fault that you've moved on. It's not the child's fault that you've got a new partner. The child still needs to live, still needs to be maintained and all of that. That's why at every application, every attorney will always start with the best interest of the child are paramount. Everybody else comes second. The child comes first.
We've got a voice note before we go on from Sipo. Yeah.
Hello, Auspimelo, Uwale Buikanyo. No, government ona wa rehatella. Government ona wa rehatella, urre sapote bana, and knowing very well urre misebeti hayo, urre ba sapote ka iyo. Because unki dem sebeti, ufa batu batu angantle, batu batu angantle baja hamnati, runamur rura batu Afrika boru, rura sokola. Eh? Bona ona jwale. Batho ba tswang ka ntle ba bolaya bana di-person tsa bona. Ho patadiswa bo mang? Ho patadiswa bo ba rekisang sekolong. Ba mme ba rekisang sekolong ba kena kae dinthong tsena. Ba bona hore government ona ha loka. I even ask myself hore ever since o ile a tshwara motho o motsho, motho o motsho a kila rata na rona batho ba batsho ba Afrika Borwa. No, this government is silly, man. No.
Tabisi. Aravela government.
How white government? Number two, I can't do that.
Aravela government. Right. Tabiseng Tibasana is here. Yeah, you know what? No one likes you today. No one likes you today. We like the wisdom, but we don't like the truth. So we're just putting it out there.
Okay.
Tabiseng Tibasana is here to tell us all the ugly truths about your marriages, your relationships, maintenance issues, and you can also call in if you have a legal question. It doesn't have to be about maintenance, by the way. It can be about any other legal issue. 086-000-0959. You can send a voice note on 063-688-0959. Okay. The second issue.
So the second issue, the ombudsman recently gave an order that was very interesting. Remember, we've talked back and forth about customary marriages. So in this particular instance, the husband died and the wife went to go claim from his policies. And upon arrival, the... is it Sanlam, I think? In the papers, it says it's Sanlam. Refused to give the outer payment, saying that no, per our policies, you were not married correctly in terms of the recognition of customary marriages.
What do you mean?
Their policy has their own definition of what a customary marriage should look like or what it should adhere to.
So let's go back a little bit.
Yeah.
Had he made her a beneficiary?
Yes, he had.
He had made her a beneficiary.
Yes.
And they're now contesting. Okay, so let me just ask in this way also. In the, when you then get this policy,
mm-hmm.
you do have to state the status of the person Correct. Who's a beneficiary.
Correct.
So in that, you would have to say, Mudibedi is my husband.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And then therefore, I don't know, you pay whatever.
Mm.
But they don't say he's just a beneficiary. He's classified as a spouse.
Yes.
Is that the problem?
Yes.
So they're saying, yes, you called him a spouse. We don't think so. That's what it is.
That's basically what they were saying.
No, he was not a spouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they go further to say, in actual fact, in the last few months or a year, I think, of his life, you were not living together.
I will.
So therefore,
hi.
You cannot be seen as a wife, period, in terms of our policy. The issue is that the words that were being used were our policy, not in terms of the recognition of the Custom Law. Marriages Act, in terms of what our policy defines a marriage, a customary marriage to be. So they were saying that the celebrations of the marriage was not done properly. There was a whole long list of the things customary marriage is supposed to be.
Okay, and then the ombud said what?
So the lady then reported them to the ombud, and then the ombud said, listen, when she reported, she then brought affidavits from both heads of the family, which confirmed that Mahadi was paid, which confirmed that they lived together from the inception. The counselor also gave confirmation. And then with regard to him living apart was because he moved from, for example, from Mpumalanga to Gauteng for work. Every other weekend or whatever, he would go home and go and be with his family. So it was for socioeconomic reasons. It wasn't being apart or divorce or whatever the case may be. And with all of that, she went to the ombud. And then the ombud looked at all of this and then looked at the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act and says, well, with all of this, and plus what the family is saying, they are married. Your policy cannot supersede what the law says. And then now they're like, okay, fine. Even if we were to accept what the ombud is saying, in terms of African custom, which African custom, we're not sure, but in terms of African custom, a wife, when the husband passes,
okay.
This woman did not.
No.
And therefore,
no,
she cannot be deemed as somebody who can claim from the estate.
And then what? You see, now my blood is
it's
to
boiling.
Boil.
Yeah. Mm. And then the ombud looked at that and said, that has
what
no bearing.
Rubbish.
It has no bearing
what
on this.
What rubbish.
Because all you need to find out per what the policy says at the inception, if the status was this, and that's all you need. The status was that, it remains as is. Horena udutsi matrasi or whatnot is irrelevant.
Eventually
they conceded and then they paid out.
What nonsense is that?
Yeah. So this debate, Yahore, what defines a customary marriage clearly will continue to rage on in the courts, because people do not want to accept that kasetso, you can get married and then you don't have to follow whatever person's criteria is. We don't have to follow civil law for us to be, as black people, to be recognized as married in terms of our own customs.
I don't have
customs.
To be a black person. If Mudibedi and I decide here, right now, in the studio, hurry, we agree, Ranyalana, I don't have to follow any black whatever. Yeah? Ay. Kidile matrasing. Ay.
So this is the issue with regard to marriages. Customary marriages are being fought left, right, and center because people want to insist that Hunta Mahadi is not marriage. It is an engagement. I think we've said this so many times. I believe...
But I think we now are sitting with a huge problem where companies now are exploiting what is cultural...
Correct.
Or people's, you know... Where in the world and where do they get off telling us what is customary, African customary law?
That's correct. That's correct.
Or as African customs practice.
It is really, really bad. And we have to always keep emphasizing this aspect that lenyalo, hamahadi atswile, whether it's fully paid, whether the rituals, the Zulu culture, Sesotho culture, Sepedic, well, it doesn't matter. There's so much case law out there that says even if it's 100 rand, you are married.
Let me quickly go to Thabang in Edenvale. Hello, Thabang.
Hey, dumela bo mme le kae?
Re teng le kae?
Re teng. I've got a quick question, right? There's something actually that doesn't sit quite well with me. But let's say khona le mostly like a lot of parents o kre ba tsa ma le bana ba sa bo fa di seat belts, some will go as far as like their heads hanging out of the window and all that. In a situation where they get involved in an accident and they discover that only the parent was strapped and the rest of the kids were not, mm-hmm. can that parent be arrested?
Yes, it may likely be a culpable homicide case, because it could fall under this is now at the top of my head, it could fall under the negligence, child negligence. You ought to have ensured that this child was safe during the car trip and all of that. And if you happen to survive as the mother or the father of this particular child, and this child has now flown through the front windscreen and died, you may be charged with culpable homicide. I actually am saying this because there is a case that is similar to what you're saying, wherein parents were charged with culpable homicide.
And who is in, who can open this case? Can it be, is it the state only, or even a third party can open a case of that nature?
Even if it's a third party, it automatically gets taken over by the NPA. So it ends up being the state versus in any event. Wabon. So when it comes to a death, usually, what happens is that whether it's intentional or not, whenever there's a death, the SAPS who are going to conduct that investigation, they open up, you call an inquest docket. In that inquest docket, we're doing an inquiry as to who is at fault with regard to this particular death that we're dealing with here. That inquest docket, once all the information has been gathered, then there's an informal process, if I can call it that way, where we pinpoint the people who could be deemed to be at fault, who would have caused this particular death. It is then done in front of a magistrate, where now and then of the three of us, we are negligent, but the most negligent is Ntabiseng. Then Ntabiseng is now uresomolato in its entirety. And then that's when the inquest docket now changes from inquest to either culp or murder or whatever the case may be. So this information that we're talking about will come from the third parties who observed the kid hanging out from the window or whatever. And then that information will then say, no, based on that, Ntabiseng should have been more cautious and put the kid in the seat. And therefore, she is more liable in this particular instance.
Okay, but that can only be done if the injuries resulted into death. But if it was just the injuries and maybe the child became somehow physically impaired.
No. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end just because it's a death. Even if the child gets injured, you can open a case of neglect of the minor child.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Yeah. All right. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter whether you are the parent or not.
Yes.
Negligence is negligence.
100%. Yes.
Okay. And it would be, as you said, culpable homicide.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be culpable because the intention would not be there.
Yes, to kill.
Yeah, so that's why it ends up being culpable homicide. And with culpable homicide, most of the time, the person doesn't serve time. It's very extreme cases where people end up serving a certain amount of time. But usually, we invoke like Section 260 of the Criminal Procedure Act, wherein alternative sentencing is looked at and stuff like that. But yeah.
And with injuries where it's not doesn't result in death?
They would look at what kind of injuries that we're dealing with, if the child is going to need ongoing medical care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, stuff like that. Those things that would fall under child negligence.
And what then would be required of the parent?
The parent would either be fined or sometimes put into prison. I mean, parents get arrested and put in prison for hoshapangwana, disciplining a child. So in that situation, it's even worse than, you know, putting a hand on your child. So therefore, you may find yourself being in custody as a result of that.
That is so interesting. And I'm saying, we go back to that that horrible advice you gave us about... about the spouse and the partner who finds themselves in the middle of a situation they were not a part of to begin with. When the partner finds themselves in a, I would say, a maintenance battle that has got nothing to do with them, would their affordability matter?
Yes. Always. So whenever a maintenance issue is dealt with, you always have to produce at minimum 6 months bank statements.
Kichowena new partner.
Yes. 6 months bank statement to show who you can't afford.
Aye, guys. Aye, gone. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, when you say,
yeah,
you must provide bank statement.
Uh-huh.
Because Nalimudibeti, we are fighting.
Yes.
And you and Mudibeti's new little love affair must be interrupted by us.
Yes.
And you must provide the 6 months bank statement.
Yes.
To prove you can't afford it.
Yes.
I paid.
Sas.
No, I paid. No,
Artukhiling. Once.
No, Artukhiling.
Well, let it end just there. No,
I think it's okay. It's okay.
Because if I don't pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Mudibe doesn't pay, then we go to Mudibe's parents.
Why don't you start with Mudibe's parents?
The nearest person is here. I guess we're married in community of property.
So you would? They wouldn't start with the extended family?
No.
Interesting.
No.
That is interesting.
Mm.
If the child has older siblings that are working?
No.
That's still not...
No.
Doesn't apply.
The obligation is on the parent, not on the siblings of that particular child.
No, I agree. The parent, we now have established that.
Then ria to the spouse. If the spouse, then ria to the grandparents.
I think if a lot of people today need a stiff drink. Let's just listen to Sipho.
Yeah, in that topic, my mother, they did that to my mother. We never even went to my father's funeral. They didn't want us there. And then they went on to claim all the things of my father. But unfortunately, my mother was married with my father, customarily. About 12 and next. She took everything.
That's good.
Explain that to me.
He sounds like okay, the family members wanted to take everything from the father's estate. They didn't even go to dad's funeral. But because mom was married to dad customarily, the family did not get a cent from from dad's estate, mom took everything. So probably dad had registered her as a spouse and all of that
in
the right places.
I see. Maybe if with the insurance company,
correct.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! And then they just got everything, and Mel was married in the customary,
which is in commuter property.
And the insurance company did not recognize her.
It recognized her.
Oh.
Yeah, and then paid out everything to her. That's what I'm getting from that voice note. Yeah.
No, this is okay. I've got another question here that's coming through. In the case where, this is a question that says, in the case where the spouse feels that this is unfair and decides to stop working, would the same rules apply, or would they just look at the next family member?
Usually they will look into that particular household first before they go to the family member. So Ntabi saying now is realizing that she's paying maintenance for a child she never gave birth to. She doesn't even have her own little Ntabi saying running around. Mm. And then she's like, no, I'm stopping. Then they're going to look, because Ntabi saying when she stops working, there's going to be a payout. That payout, Section 40 of the Maintenance Act, says that if there's any monies due to you that are coming, any debt that's due to you that's coming, we're going to put a hold on that and grab what we deem is due to the minor child. So even with that, the money that are coming to you are still going to be taken. And then whatever is left is whatever is left. They can leave you alone. But just be very mindful of the fact that they are going to grab any monies that you are expecting.
So with what we spoke about earlier, it means that this new spouse can also be listed.
That's correct, yes. So it's going to be interesting how that's going to work, especially if the order indeed was granted against Mudibedi. Mudibedi then defaulted, and then they're now looking to Ntabi saying, does it mean then they're going to remove Mudibedi, the debt, so to speak, from Mudibedi? The maintenance order is no longer on Mudibedi. The order is now on Ntabi saying nah. And if that's the case, how does that then work? Because the actual obligation lies with Mudibedi as the biological parent of this particular child. It's only by extension of marriage that I am now obligated to pay for this particular child. So how are they going to...
But I'll at least tell you to...
Probably. Ibe a co-debt, like for a bond. When you're married and then you get a bond together or whatever, then both of your names are listed there. I don't know how they're going to deal with it. It will be very interesting to see.
I'm not sure if this was well considered, to be honest with you.
They say they've been talking about it since 2006. And in 2015, the both acts were amended. Yes, they were, but they were not amended to this degree. It was just a situation wherein... In the Maintenance Act specifically, because the NCA is not exactly my area of expertise, but with the Maintenance Act, there was a situation whereby if your debts are what it's called, annulment something, I forgot, it's in the Maintenance Act, but what it says that all your debts cannot supersede the maintenance of the minor child.
Mm-hmm.
Even though most credit institutions kind of ignore that, but the child comes first before your debt.
So do you think there will be a situation where we recoup the money that has been owed to the child to settle that? In other words, we can, or because that's another thing, as you said, creditors would, you know, they are governed by different laws.
Yeah.
So in this instance, who will then take the responsibility of going to assess the assets, recouping those assets, selling those assets, whatever, auction them, and then pay the mother or the guardian?
As it stands, I'm assuming it would be the maintenance investigator who's already tasked with doing a lot of this investigation. Mm. So maybe it will fall upon that particular person to do all these investigations. And
Because to your point, it's not governed by the Credit Act.
No, it's governed by the Maintenance Act. So I don't know how they would intend
procedurally,
on doing that.
What would allow what part of the law would allow us to go and attach Mudibedi's thing?
Yes, based on a maintenance order, because the Act itself also has provision for failure to pay maintenance. So come on, someone back pay your maintenance. There's still that option wherein, for example, if Mudibedi now resigns or he is expecting payment for selling a house, we can put a stop on that and say the calculation, 5 years of failure of paying maintenance is 150,000 before you transfer the money that is due to Mudibedi, pay this 150,000 plus what we predict to be the next 3 years of this particular child's life, and then that can be set aside, the balance here, whom we debate. There's provisions for that already in the Maintenance Act. So how are we going to then include the NCA in this so that Mudibedi is now listed, and how it's going to work? The credit system doesn't work that way. Are you going to send a letter of demand?
This is the question.
All of those things. And there's also the garnish order that's already there that you can attach directly to salary Mudibedi. And that goes with him wherever he goes. Any employment, it's a Mayalian. It's not specifically for Kaya. It is going every other place.
Yo, Ntabi saying, I hope next week is better, ne?
No.
I hope next week will be better. We really loved having you, but please quickly give everybody your details.
So we can be contacted on info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za. You can call us on 087-265-8010. Send us a WhatsApp on 079-654-7523. Our offices are in Randburg on the ground floor, 272 Oak Avenue. And our office is Office G2.
Thanks, folks. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.